The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
We are finishing up the book of James this morning. And so if you have your Bibles or your phone, whatever you're going to look at, and we're in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Doug said I only have two verses, so it should only take a few minutes. So I don't know how many a few is. All right. If you have your place there, James chapter 5, verses 19. 19 and 20. I got to find my thing here. All right. It says, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Father, I'm asking that today that you'd speak to us collectively as a congregation, that you would just awaken things in our life that need to be awakened, us to see the things that we need to see. Father, every time we have an opportunity to come together, you instruct, train, reprove, correct for one purpose, so that we can get to where we need to go unscathed from the world around us. And so I'm asking that you would give us what we need today, that that could occur in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to remind you, you know, in the closing of this letter, who James is writing to again and why he's writing to them. So, again, he's writing to these Christian Jews that were scattered out of Jerusalem because of persecution on the church. And they are in these places, these other countries. They are in these other nations, and they're living among people who are very different than they are. They live very differently than they do, and they believe very differently than they do. And he's writing to encourage them that even though they're in this strange situation, these difficult circumstances, they need to keep believing the truth that is in Jesus, and to instruct and to correct those who were wandering or straying away from the truth. So it's interesting to me that this is really, these two last two verses kind of capsulize it and then leaves us with an admonition. Because James's purpose, these two verses align with the purpose of his writing to encourage them to keep walking in the truth, to correct them from the errors that they may be in, and to restore them to the truth of the gospel. But there's one difference. I've never seen this before, but man, it just glared at me this week as I looked through it. See, in the letter, James is the one instructing the believers toward truth. And in these last verses, what he does is he turns over this responsibility to the church. So James is saying, James, he's in Jerusalem, he's separated from them. They're living away, he's not involved in the daily life of these believers. And so James is saying to them, okay, here's the truth. In his letter, here's the truth, this is what you need to remember. This is what you need to hang tightly to. And here's where you've been erring. Now, help each other not to drift away from the truth. And if any of you should, it is your responsibility as brothers and sisters to help return the one that is wandering from the truth back to the truth. So in verse 19, when he says, "Brothers, if anyone among you, if there is somebody among you that is wandering away from the truth," what truth? We need to understand that's the truth of the gospel. It is the whole idea, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and all its implications and our responsibility to live our lives according to the truth of the gospel. So again, this is what James has been teaching along. It's not simply about just hearing or what we think, knowing what the gospel is. It is about living out, applying the gospel to our life in whatever situation we're in, applying this truth to our life. Now, he says, if any should wander from that truth, and it does mean to go astray, like off course, but here's something that we need to see. This word and this phrase is passive. Makes a huge difference when we look at these verses, because the idea is it means to cause to go astray or to wander. So more specifically, the way this phrase would be said in the Greek would be this. So my brothers and sisters, let me say that if any among you are seduced away from the truth. This big difference here. If there's any among you that are being seduced away from the truth. So it's passive. Something is taking place in this person's life that is pushing them, pulling them, steering their attention, moving them away from the truth. I mean, here's the reality. As believers, we just don't wake up and decide we're going to wander away from Jesus. How many of you woke up today and said, I'm just going to walk away from the truth? That is not what happens. See, we are seduced away from the truth. We're led aside from the truth. We are turned away to something else, which that something else, of course, is a lie. It's like, here, this is it over here. So you're focused on truth and what this is the devil all the way. This is the manipulation. This is everything that the devil is doing is to try to lead us away from the truth being in front of us that we're walking in. He needs to. He can't. He's not going to jump out in his little red suit with his tail and his horn and say, "This is what you need to do, Andrew." You're going to go, "No, I know who you are." What he's going to do is he's going to deceive. He's going to tell a lie. He's going to misrepresent. He's going to mislead. So when we see this, when James is talking about those wandering from the truth, we need to keep in mind that it's those that are being led away from the truth. Who are they led away from the truth by? By demonic forces, by other things besides what God is wanting in their life. And who tries to get us to go away from whatever God is wanting in our life? It is the enemy. No matter if it's in a person, it's the influence of the enemy. So what happens, the next thing you know, truth doesn't seem to be in the forefront of you, leading you, or the truth is twisted to make us believe something else that we don't keep walking in it. We begin to depart from the faith and the practice of the gospel. You know, this verse isn't necessarily just talking about somebody that's way off the reservation. How many know that if you're walking this way, when you wander, can be a step off. It could be just a couple steps off. But a step off and then another step off leads to another step off, which leads to another step off. I've done it before. I had a pole standing and it was plumb, and then I just shifted it. So within the first few inches, I was 16th of an inch off, but the further I got, the farther you got off. And so what we need, what his admonition is that we really need to hold tightly to the truth of the gospel. Don't let any of it slip from us. This is what we need to do. We need to lay our lives down, and we need to be obedient. We need to follow in every step of the way. So, man, I mean, in my mind, I've got a gazillion things in my head of examples of what that looks like. you know, from relationships and seeking all the things that James had been talking about. Matter of fact, I put all these down there in case I needed them, concerning the difficulties that we have living this life out, concerning not really trusting God fully with our life, concerning when we're in temptation about anything, concerning the reality, it's not about just listening, but we really need to put this in practice, concerning favoritism, concerning faith and works, concerning the words we use, the things we believe, concerning submitting to God, following God fully, the dangers of a wrong perception about wealth, patience and suffering, the idea of prayer. So it covers the whole spectrum. I mean, God has laid out this way for us to walk in. And so sometimes we think, well, it's a small deviation. A small deviation is not a good deviation. So he says, if it should be that any among you is being led away, deceived to stray from the truth, and someone brings him back. Someone, the word is, it's used convert, the idea is to turn back. To what? To the truth. See, we need to keep pointing people to the truth, not our opinions, to the truth. Because here's the deal, when you take and you get somebody back in the way of the truth will continue to lead them. It's like they're in good hands. They're back on this pathway where they need to be. Now remember Jesus, or James here, earlier in the letter, he's talking about, you know what, there's two ways to think. There's a way that the world thinks, and there's a way that we should think concerning the kingdom of God that comes from the Father. One comes from the Father, the other is demonic. So anything that is not the gospel, anything that's not the truth of the gospel, we don't really need to think too long where that comes from. So the one that is turning others from the error of their way is bringing them back to truth, and they are reestablishing them in the truth. Okay, it is not just getting them back in church. Because I can tell you right now, all over the world, there are people that sit in the church Sundays, maybe a couple times a week, and they are so far from God, so far from living the truth, they're just showing up there. So what we need to understand is we need to guide people back to the truth of the gospel. See, the one who is doing that is rescuing others from certain death and from this, and is in the process covering a multitude of sin. Death, you could think of a lot of different ways. It can be literal. It can be metaphorical. I can tell you what, some people, I'm going to leave it there. Death, at its shortest definition, is separation. So if we are wandering away from truth, we're being separated from our relationship with Jesus and where we need to be. And the one who works to try to guide someone back bridges the gap to bring them back so that separation is not in their life. And the one who strayed from the truth of the gospel and their belief in it and their responsibilities to that, they need someone. When Doug prayed, he said, Lord, sometimes we need to be ahead leading, sometimes we need to be side pushing, sometimes we just need to be with them carrying them. That was so good and so applicable for where we are, because they need to be brought back to proper belief and conduct. So the key word is to turn back. The goal is to turn them back again. The goal is to turn them back to truth. Then the truth will be their guide back into this right relationship with their God. So being seduced, led away from the truth, it's going to cause changes in your behavior. And it will lead you to a place that you never intended or ever wanted to go. I mean, Just think about Adam and Eve. The enemy came in and he seduced them from the truth. And they found themselves in a place they never intended or never wanted to be. He painted it. He polished a lie to make them think that that is what they needed. You know, at the end or at the root of every practical failure, there is some biblical distortion. There is some misinterpretation of the truth. There is some lie that is in there. Because if you ever find yourself in a place you should never be as a believer, something steered you there. Something nudged you, bumped you off course. Something got between you and the truth. Someone or something caused you to look away from the truth. You were led to believe or think something that was not true, that was in keeping with the gospel. So here's our admonition as a family, as a church. We should be turning those who have wandered from the truth back to the truth. See, I think we need to realize that they are being led astray. We've all been there. We have all, at some point in our, I don't care who you are, at some point in your life, you bought a lie. Somewhere you bit an apple. Somewhere you begin to believe something that wasn't according to the truth of a gospel. And you thought, okay, I like that. The devil says, look, it's over here, and you begin to move that way. And what happens is we go that way for a while, and hopefully what has happened is the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of your life, somebody grabbed a hold of your life, and you realize that that was an error. Maybe you fell headlong into sin and suffered the consequences for it. Nonetheless, you realize that it was not true. It was a facade. Now, I got to thinking about this. Parents, let me ask you a question. How long do you wait to intervene in your child's life when they're wandering? How long? You just let them wander far enough so they can get burnt? So that they can suffer some kind of pain so they'll learn their lesson? I don't think so. I never did. We jumped right in. It's our responsibility as parents to jump right in. It's our responsibility as family to jump right in. If you see that taking place, you need to grab them. And you grab them because you love them. I mean, the longer you allow someone to wander, just the more entangled they'll become. The dimmer their life gets, the less likely they are for truth to affect them the way that it needs to be. And, you know, I got to thinking, well, how do you do that? Well, man, let's just say I know that's going on. Typically, I'm going to go, hey, how you doing? Good. How you really doing? Well, I'm doing okay. Let me ask you about this. How's this going? How's this relationship with you and Jesus going? Is it where it needs to be? And just by opening up a conversation, just by caring enough, by asking questions, by listening, what that does is it gives us opportunity just for stuff to come out. And I have people come to me and they give me the dirt, right? Sometimes, not all the time, but they'll tell me exactly what's going on. And so then I am around that person and they have no idea. I already know what's going on in their life. But I'll just ask, hey, how you doing? How you really doing? How's this? How's the marriage? You know, I'm just asking questions. It's not for me to jump in and just tell them where they're going wrong. It's up for me to open up a dialogue, to invite them into a conversation where I might have the opportunity to encourage them in some way. And typically my encouragement is I'm going to encourage them back to the truth. I'm going to encourage them back to getting this relationship right, getting this relationship right. I want them to get back to a place where Jesus is Lord. I want them to get back to a place where they're responsive to the voice of the Spirit of God in their life, who is a teacher, an encourager, a comforter, a corrector. Because just like James, he was far removed. Sometimes we're just not involved in people's lives, but the Holy Spirit is involved in their life. And if we can get them back to a truth, to awaken that again in their life, to look at that truth again, to be cognizant and aware of the truth in their life and what that looks like. Sometimes it can be, hey, you've just been on my heart. I've been concerned about you. I've been praying for you. I don't know what's up, but just want you know I love you and praying for you. And they may or may not open up, but you pray for them. You open up a dialogue, you try to interact in some way. I don't jump in and if, let's pick on Travis because he's up front and he's got a cool mustache now. If I just don't jump on him and just point my finger, that's not going to get us anywhere. I'm not here to bring condemnation. I'm here to bring an awareness of where he is and where he needs to be. So, I think about that in the context of Galatians chapter 6, 1. Brothers, if anyone is overtaken in a fault, the same thing, the same concept, they're overtaken. They're just something from the outside shifts them. It wasn't their idea just to jump up and run off the reservation. If anyone is overtaken in a fault, well, you who are spiritual, that is, you who are responsive to the guidance of the Spirit of God, your responsibility is to restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness, not with a sense of superiority or self-righteousness, keeping a watchful eye on yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Again, we rescue people, redirecting them back to the truth of God's Word. I think maybe an admonition is that we need to keep bringing each other back to the truth. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had people come to me and say, Tracy, can I talk to you? And I go, yeah, sure. You know, you've been on my heart. I've been seeing some stuff. And I need to ask you about some stuff. And I go, okay. And, you know, who likes that? I mean, who really likes that? But what happens at that moment is I am stopped in my tracks, can't get away. Even if I hate them saying whatever it is to me, with a smile on my face, gritting my teeth. Inside, my mind saying, who in the world are you to talk to me? Your life is messed up. Let me tell you what happens. Because if they approach me in love, in a right way, then the Holy Spirit has this opportunity to go, kabam! Later, usually not then, but later. What's your big deal? You are being whatever, whatever, whatever. Right? in the end, am I resentful or am I grateful? See, in the end, I'm grateful because someone was willing to care enough about me to approach me to say something to me. Now, again, this is, what's he say here? He says, not with a sense of superiority, not being self-righteous, but with this humility that we're all in this together and I'm for you and I know you're for me and let me help you swim. Let me carry you. Let me push you. Let me pull you. Whatever it is. You know, besides the admonition or the benefit, I would say, besides the benefit of what the scriptures tell us here about the one who turns someone back to the truth, that they rescue their soul and they cover a multitude of sins, I can think of some other benefits. A couple, maybe. When you're the one that is see something and you are helping and you're helping to try to help turn someone back to the truth, it causes you to evaluate your own life and your own example when you do that. You're basically saying, here's the bar, or here's the pathway. At the moment you do that, the Holy Spirit's going, I can tell you that every time, barring none, anytime Denise and I are marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling couples, I, and she has it all down, but for me, I always am talking and the Holy Spirit's going, hey, let me echo that back to you. Because you are not doing good in this area right now, right? So I'm trying to speak truth to them, and at the same time I'm trying to tell them truth, the Spirit of God has reminded me of that truth I'm telling them. Tracy, you practicing that? So that's one of them. As we share truth, it reminds us of the truth and the promises of the truth. So for me, when I'm sharing that with someone else and trying to help them, I'm evaluating my life. The Spirit of God's talking to me, and I'm reminded of that truth myself and the promise of those truths myself. And I should, from that, be encouraged by that. Now, when you help rescue someone who is in error or someone who is wandering, well, I can just tell you that the one who is being helped, the one who is rescued, there's a lot of things going on in their life. First of all, there is a gratefulness that someone loved them enough, stuck with them long enough, to help them long enough, to get them back so that they could understand that God does love them. God does see them. He does care about them. Even if they've done dumb, even if they have wandered. And also, they know that God forgives. And He knows that there is a pathway back into the presence of God. There's a pathway back into the relationship of God. The truth of God just echoes that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It echoes that you're the apple of my eye. It echoes that I know you from beginning to end. I know the thoughts and intents of your heart. I am for you. I have plans for you. I am with you. I am Father. There's so many things that just begin to awaken in their life. And the last thing that I think about is when you have helped someone back, they seem to have this awareness when others are just a little bit off course. And they will be a little more responsive and maybe quickly to see those small deviations in their life. And they'll speak into them. They can speak into them. And the reason they can is because they'll have the right words because they've been there. They know what it feels. They know the lie that led them there, and they know what it feels while they're there, but they know the next step to get away from there back to where they need to be. You know, as a family of believers, we're all in this together. We're all going to make mistakes. But we need to help each other. We need to keep pointing each other back to the truth. And so James ends this letter to a community of believers. He says, look, you just really need to know to walk in and guard against the truth in your life and the lives of others. It's important. It's worth it. It is so worth it to help someone who has wandered from the truth, deceived into believing something that wasn't true. Because what happens is they get rescued. What happens is their sin is covered, the gospel is advanced, God is glorified. That's all good stuff. You know, when I was thinking about all of this, I was reminded in Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, where Timothy, or Paul's talking to Timothy, and he knows that he's going to be dying soon, and Timothy is leading the church, and he's a leader in the church, and he says to Timothy, he says, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is a judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time's coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Well, let me just paraphrase for us. I think we need to know that God's watching, and in the light of his coming, we need to keep sharing the message of the truth. We need to keep encouraging each other and directing each other to the truth. And we need to keep this sense of urgency. I've said it before, but man, I tell you what, the longer I am here, the more I know that we need you as mothers and fathers of faith to stand in it, to not deviate from it, to not sit down, to not give up, to not turn aside, but to hold it high and to speak it often. Otherwise, what will happen is we'll continue to lose the generations that follow us from the blessing of the gospel in their life lived out. You are here, you're living it out because you know the truth and the value of it. That's what we need to keep imparting to others. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that does take correction. Sometimes it does take, it is difficult at times, but it's necessary because when you turn a wanderer back from the truth and they find the grace and the love and the acceptance of God that they would never give to anyone, and it showers over their life, and they come to this realization of the intimacy and the love of the Father, you can't put a price tag on that in anyone's life. So, people are going to be led away. They are going to be deceived to wander. So what we need to do is challenge and to warn and urge people back to the truth, and we should never quit. We need to keep it simple, but we need to keep the message alive. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this letter that has been so encouraging. I've never, through the whole of the letter, found any condemning note in it, but only this affirmation to us as believers about this is truth, and this is the way we need to walk so that the blessings and walking in it may follow in our lives. I pray that today, God, as a body of believers, we could realize that we are in this together, and we need to be arm in arm, and we need to push, we need to lead, we need to carry one another, so that we can find the richness of the blessing that you offer into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing week.